Last night, a federal judge issued an emergency order allowing the indefinite detention provisions of the National Defense Authorization Act to be in effect until the injunction blocking it can be reviewed by the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. In May, journalists, supporters of the WikiLeaks website, and others who felt that they could be subject to detention without charges under Section 1021 of the NDAA won a temporary injunction blocking enforcement of that section of the law. Last week, in a 112-page ruling, Judge Catherine Forrest made that injunction permanent, saying the law violates the First and Fifth Amendments to the Constitution. On Monday, the Obama administration requested an emergency stay of that injunction, saying it threatens irreparable harm to national security. Last night, Judge Raymond Lothier granted an administrative stay until the request can be reviewed by a panel of judges later this month. Carl Mayer is an attorney for the plaintiffs in the lawsuit against the NDAA. Mayer says it's hard to say exactly what the government is basing its challenge to the injunction on.
The government didn't put in any affidavits or certifications or any other facts into evidence, as I believe the rules require. All they did was put in a brief where they claimed that the president was being harmed in his war powers and his ability to prosecute some unnamed wars around the world without the authority to detain American citizens in military prisons. The case is by no means over. Plaintiffs, led by Chris Hedges and other journalists and activists, we have won at every turn. Yesterday there was an administrative stay put on, but we believe we will prevail on appeal. This might ultimately wind up in the Supreme Court.
The administration claims that this does irreparable harm. However, it also claimed during the proceedings that this was virtually identical to the authorization for the use of military force. The judge said this is a ruling that only applies to the NDAA. So why is there a conflict?
I don't think there is a conflict. I don't think there's any need for a stay. And that's what we're going to be arguing in front of the Second Circuit next week. Frankly, the government's position has been illogical and unsubstantiated since this litigation began 9 months ago. Even in the district court, the government never called a witness. They never entered any evidence into the record. They never put in any affidavits or certifications. They've just made bald assertions. And one of their bald assertions is that everything in the NDAA is consistent with their practice under the AUMF and what they've done before. Well, if that's the case, then they don't need a stay to enjoin an act that they say doesn't go beyond the AUMF. So it's entirely inconsistent. The government's position has been inconsistent from the beginning. The president himself said in his signing statement that he had serious reservations about the law, and yet it's clear that he has now directed the Justice Department and the Department of Defense to make a full court press to retain the administration's right to toss U.S. citizens into military prisons like Guantanamo without a lawyer and without a right to trial. This is complete illogic. It is complete hypocrisy. The president himself, in a letter that he sent to Congress when this bill was being considered, said, and I'm paraphrasing here, that it's been in our history for over 200 years that the military does not police the streets of this country. And yet, that's exactly what the president, in seeking a stay and seeking to uphold the injunction against the NDAA, is doing. He's trying to use the military to police the streets of the United States, to do what Senator Lindsey Graham said he wanted to do, which is make it clear that the United States is a battlefield. Well, guess what? We're not a battlefield. We're a democracy. We've talked to all the plaintiffs, including Daniel Ellsberg, Chris Hedges, etc., and everyone is determined to fight all the way to the Supreme Court if we have to.
There was a quote from the government's motion that the authorization for the use of military force and Section 1021 of the NDAA are war authorizations conferred upon the president and not penal statutes intended to regulate and punish conduct. Is there a distinction between punishment and indefinite detention without trial? At what point does one cross the line to be the other?
Well, that's the problem. The NDAA, or the Homeland Battlefield Act, as it's called, is so vague that it chills the speech of journalists and activists because they don't know if they're going to be detained. They don't know if writing a column could be considered substantial support for terrorists and therefore captured under the language of the NDAA. In fact, the judge found them very credible on this point, and the government never offered assurances in two separate hearings that First Amendment speech couldn't subject someone to detention under the NDAA. So the government can write a statute that is directed at terrorists who have taken concrete actions to harm the United States, but when they don't define the terms of a statute and they talk about vague terms like substantial support or associated forces or groups that are engaged in hostilities against the United States or our coalition partners, then it's unconstitutionally overbroad and vague. And that's why Judge Forrest rightly ruled that this law violates our liberties, it violates our freedom of speech, our First Amendment rights, our due process rights. And frankly, if you read the tenor of the government's papers filed yesterday, their emergency papers, all the government is saying is that the executive has power during wartime to do what it wants. And the case law just doesn't support that, and it's not supported in the Constitution.
The government maintains that Judge Forrest's injunction went beyond the limitations of the NDAA into things that were settled under Guantanamo habeas hearings in the D.C. Circuit, affecting people who are already detained in Afghanistan. Is that a possible reading of the judge's decision? I thought she said specifically that it did not do that.
No, it's not a credible reading of the judge's decision. She said as clear as day, the NDAA is completely different than the AUMF. The AUMF was a law passed by Congress right after 9/11, and it authorized the president to use force against Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, or anyone directly involved in the attacks of 9/11. And it seems that those are the people we want to be going after. The NDAA includes anyone who substantially supports is completely vague. You have no idea what that means. It could be in a newspaper column. Anyone who substantially supports Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, or associated forces, and no one knows what associated forces means, or any group or person engaged in hostilities against the United States of America or its coalition partners. Well, there's something like 70 coalition partners. And let's say Iceland is one of our coalition partners. And let's say, this is as a hypothetical that I used in court, is let's say there's a radical anti-herringfish party in Iceland, and their tactic is to throw herringfish on the steps of parliament as a means of protesting. And if the government of Iceland, which is our coalition partner, thinks that this radical anti-herringfish party is engaged in hostilities against it, does that mean that the U.S. government has the authority to detain these people or authorize them detained in Iceland or somewhere outside of the country? Under the NDAA, possibly. So it's just completely open-ended. And the AUMF, totally different, just tailored to Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, or people who were directly involved in 9/11. And the judge could not have made that more clear.
The government maintains that laws passed by Congress should be construed as constitutional until otherwise ruled by the Supreme Court. In other words, they're saying that the judge cannot enjoin the law as unconstitutional because she's a district court judge. Wasn't Judge Forrest doing what a judge is supposed to do in this case?
She's doing exactly what a judge is supposed to do. It's not a frequent occurrence, but there are many statutes that have been declared unconstitutional originally by district court judges and enjoined. There are all sorts of anti-pornography statutes that come to mind, but beyond that, there recently was a federal judge down in Florida who enjoined a law that made it more burdensome for people in Florida to vote. There have been many injunctions issued by district court judges. It is the government's right to have it reviewed by the Second Circuit or by the Supreme Court, but frankly, Judge Forrest concluded that there's nothing more fundamental, as she said in her opinion, than the Americans' rights to liberty, and particularly in a situation where the government is threatening to detain them potentially forever. So, of course, a law like that has to be enjoined because it's so open-ended and it's so vague. This is a monumental threat to liberty in this country. It's a tremendous undermining of due process. And that's why the judge issued the injunction. And that's why we're going to seek to have the stay lifted.
Carl Mayer is an attorney with the Mayer Law Group and represents the plaintiffs in the lawsuit challenging the detention provisions of the NDAA. More information about this case is available online at stopndaa.org.